This is Jay Sekulow. Massacres continue in Iraq, and David Cameron, Prime Minister of England, says the time is now to act.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Pastor Saeed Abedini, now serving his second year of an 8-year sentence, and now that news that ISIS is in the prison is very bad news for him.
Saeed was able to convey to his mom when she visited on Wednesday that there is ISIS, they're Iranian of Iranian descent that had joined ISIS, that are in the prison now and have threatened him because he's a Christian, but he's a Christian convert, so he's converted from Islam, and also that, because he's a dual Iranian-American citizen, but it's been pretty intense in that prison. It's already a tense prison, but now there's additional threats, and we're really concerned about his well-being.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
ISIL now is a terrorist organization with an army. That's what makes them so dangerous. Tanks, helicopters, heavy artillery, money, all of those equate to a pretty dangerous situation.
We may be war weary, but I tell you, ISIL is not war weary. They're highly trained, they're highly organized, they've been very patient setting up this caliphate, and their long-term aim really is to use that base of operation against the West.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. The news did not get better over the weekend, although the military airstrikes have picked up in intensity and I think are helping the situation. ISIS, or ISIL as they're now called, is definitely on the march. David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, put out an op-ed in the Telegraph newspaper. I actually read it last night when it came out. And he says that we need to recognize that a brighter future that the people of Britain long for requires a long-term plan for security. True security will only be achieved if we use all our resources, aid, diplomacy, military prowess to help bring about a more stable world. The creation of an extremist caliphate in the heart of Iraq and extending into Syria is not a problem a miles away from home, nor is a problem that should be defined by a war 10 years ago. It is our concern here and now. And I think what David Cameron has said is absolutely correct. David French and Skip Asher with me in various studios around the country. But let me go to David first. The fact of the matter is that this is the creation of an extremist state, a caliphate, and that in and of itself creates a deeper problem than we've experienced before with these other terrorist groups.
Yeah, it's a radical caliphate in the very strategic heart of the Middle East. That means striking distance of Israel, striking distance of all of our allies around the region, Jordan, Kurdistan, others. It also puts them right in the heart of world commerce. I mean, let's think about right in the middle of the Middle East, you're talking about a hub of world commerce. They will not be confined in that area.
And Skip, it's clear also that their genocide knows no bounds. I mean, just this weekend alone, hundreds more killed Christians, Yazidis also. I mean, they're going after multiple minority groups here. Christians, of course, in the crosshairs. This is an unprecedented scope, something you and I talked about at Oxford. It seems like a lifetime ago. It was just last month. But the reality of what's happened has been increased significantly just in the last couple of weeks.
You're absolutely right. We've got a situation here where this is a group that has a fanatical philosophy, ideology, and it has the means to carry it out. And that's what's so dangerous. It has the means and the will to carry it out. And the means it has are high-tech equipment it captured from the Iraqi forces. And the means also include radiological material that it could create a dirty bomb that it could drop in London or New York or anywhere around the world. So this is absolutely one of the most dangerous situations we've encountered in our lifetime.
80 men were killed by ISIS this weekend. 300 were killed yesterday. Saturday, 80. Yesterday, 300. Reports that 700 were killed in a minority village in Syria, many by beheading, many of them Christian, women put into sex slavery. We've got to stop this, folks, and we need direct action. And the UN is tepid as always. But you're not. 187,000 of you contacted us. But, folks, we want to stand up for people that cannot speak out for themselves. You go to ACLJ.org and you sign that petition to stop the genocide of Iraqi Christians and others right now. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Everyone that's listening, let's get this up to 200,000 signatures. ACLJ.org. Or 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Take action now.
It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered by radical Muslims. A deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Listen to Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin on the Foreign Relations Committee, folks. This tells you the nature of this fight. Listen to this.
ISIS method of diplomacy are beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, or live burials, and enslavement of women and forced marriages. These are evil people. They need to be defeated.
And they need to be defeated now. We don't have the luxury of sitting back and watching this unfold. So here's what we're doing. We've got our government affairs teams working on this in Washington. Same thing in Strasbourg at the European Union, European Parliament. We are working in New York. We are working in the Middle East. We're working in the region. We're preparing documents to get this thing moving. But, folks, we need your help on this. When we go to the UN, there's going to be special hearings on a lot of this in a couple of weeks. We want you to go with us. Now, I know you can't physically get on a plane and go over to Geneva. But if you sign this petition, we could tell the UN that we're representing 200,000 or 300,000 people. So here's what we'd like you to do. Go to aclj.org and sign this petition now to stop the genocide of Iraqi Christians, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Now, David Cameron in his piece wrote this. This is a threat that simply cannot be removed by airstrikes alone. We need a new, tough, intelligent, and patient long-term approach that can defeat terrorist threats at the source. So, David, I'm seeing this shift of looking at this now as, instead of the traditional conflict where we look at it for this is going to go on for a year or 10 years, this becomes, and he says this in his piece, I think Cameron's piece is well worth reading, he says this is an intergenerational conflict. Well, he said it'll outlive his political lifetime.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the history of jihad in the Muslim world, and this is a point we're going to make in our book,
yep,
it flares, and it will sometimes flare for generations until it's defeated for a time, and then it comes back again. You can't just decide, well, we're not going to fight this. You can't just decide to lay down your arms. The jihadists don't give you that option.
And this is jihadists in a whole new proportion. I mean, they're all related, believe me. But the context of what we're dealing with and the scope and danger of what we're dealing with, you're looking at basically 1,000 killings by beheading, many of them, this weekend. So this is an ongoing, nonstop attack on Christians and others. And we've got to have more than a tepid response. And we better prepare for the long haul here. You know, Benjamin Disraeli, I quote him often on this broadcast, Prime Minister of Great Britain in the 1860s and 70s, said this when dealing with the Middle East: it is a lifetime engagement. And I think, Skip, there's a lot of truth to that. This is not something that's going away anytime soon. But the level of lethality that this group has is unprecedented in our lifetime.
That's exactly right. They have such important weapons now and such high tech available to themselves. But let's just look a little bit historically. This type of struggle has gone on in the past over hundreds of years. It'll flare up. It'll go on for, as David said, generations, and then it dies down for a short time, but it comes back. And we're now in that cycle where this jihadist group has rediscovered fundamentalist Islam. They're trying to go back to the early days of Islam, when Islam was on the move, when Islam was conquering peoples around the world, and they want to reestablish that in the caliphate to go out and to spread Islam around the world. But it's not just Islam. It's their own fundamentalist view of it. They're killing their fellow Muslims who do not agree with them, who are not pure enough from their perspective. So they're killing Muslims, and they're killing all those, the rest of us, who they consider to be infidels. So you're exactly right. 1,000 people just this weekend, and they're just getting started.
Here's what you got, though. David points this out. This is a higher level of violence than the worst days of the war in Iraq in 2005 and 2006. And that's because the brutality and lethality of which this group is operating with is really unprecedented. And I played for you Senator Ron Johnson's comment. That's the Republican from Wisconsin. Listen to Elliot Engel from New York, the Democrat ranking member of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House.
I don't think we're going to put boots on the ground the way we did before in Iraq. I don't think anybody really wants to do that. We do have some boots on the ground right now, and frankly, we need to do everything we can to repel ISIS. I don't think we have the luxury of putting our heads in the sand and saying, well, it's over there, and we're not going to do it. I think what we're doing now is effective. We've got to do more of it, and ultimately, we may have some boots on the ground there. Not something I want, but you know what? We have bad choices, and the worst choice is to do nothing.
I think that's right. The worst choice is to do nothing. We're taking your call. How do you feel about this military action? What about boots on the ground? How would you react if you were the one called on the White House to deal with this or at the UN? We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Alan is calling from Texas on line one. Hi, Alan. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Yeah, my question is, why do they have to go to the UN to have special sanctions when it's obvious what ISIS is doing over there?
Let's walk through the UN process here. By the way, we're putting together an ebook that we hope to have out in the next couple of weeks on ISIS, Hamas, and the genocide in the Middle East. And it is a comprehensive, it's going to be about 30,000 words, so about half the normal length of a book that you'd see. But it's just on this topic. And it's going to be an education for everybody that wants to get it. And as soon as it's available, we'll let you know how you can get it. But you bring up a really good point, and that is this, you know, do you go to the UN? And Skip, I mean, I think the concern here is you do need to build international support, but the UN has been pretty quiet on this right now.
Well, the UN has been pretty quiet, primarily because the largest subgroup in the UN is Islamic countries. They make up 65 of the countries in the UN. It's the largest bloc, and they tend to be very protective of Islam.
Yeah, but even, Skip, I want to jump in for a second. You know, Jordan is under threat right now. I mean, you know, Syria clearly, Iraq clearly. You look around these countries and you start saying they may be, you know, they may be Islamic majority countries, but the fact of the matter is ISIS has no bounds. They want to do away with the boundaries. I mean, that's part of their idea of establishing the caliphate.
Well, that's exactly right. That's what I was saying. We're beginning to see movement in these countries because it is putting Islam in a bad light. It is also threatening countries like Jordan, like Saudi Arabia, like Egypt, in the sense that these people really want to do away with nation states. They want to do away with these monarchies. They want to come up with a single Islamic state called the Caliphate under the leader of the Caliph. And by doing that, they would destroy the nation-state concept. So there's a lot going on there. But I think the issue is, under the system, as a member of the United Nations Security Council has been charged under the Charter with maintaining peace. They have never really lived up to that function.
No, but they ran out to put a committee to investigate, you know, Israel's potential war crimes in the situation with Hamas. That they don't hesitate doing, David. They don't stop on that one, but they moved really quickly there. But on this, they're almost stone silent.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're so silent. You wonder whose side they're on.
Well, you do, because what is there? We'll look this up. Other than the general condemnation, oh, we hate this. Are they saying anything?
I am not seeing any strong statement. Where's the Security Council? Where's the movement in the Security Council to stop genocide? Let's not forget.
How about impaneling a committee to investigate people being beheaded in Iraq because they're Christians? How about a committee on that from the UN?
The purpose, one of the key purposes of the UN was to avoid genocide in the future, to stop it from happening in the future. And here one is emerging in front of their faces, and they're more concerned about where Israel's bombs are dropping when it's trying to defend itself against terrorists.
Yeah, it shows you the nature of how they got this backwards. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. What do you think the United States should do? What about the UN? What about all of us speaking out on behalf of those that are being unbelievably persecuted? I mean, we can't even imagine what's going on here. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. I mean, there's a criticism coming, by the way, from both sides here. Republicans and Democrats want to know how the U.S. is going to engage this. And the question is, have we, and I guess this is the fundamental question, David, you served there. Have we lost Iraq?
We're on the verge. We're on the verge.
I mean, and does that mean the extermination of Christianity in that part of the country, world?
If we lose Iraq, Christians will be exterminated. And that's why we have to move now. We have to move decisively. And we have friends on the ground we can support. The most mystifying thing about this entire affair to me is, why are we not flooding aid to the people who are willing, whose boots are already on the ground, willing to fight and die against ISIS?
You know, congressional Democrats are becoming critical of the president's efforts here. This is, let me tell you something, folks, we're dealing with something we have never seen before. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Now, look, we have heard from almost 187,000, a little over 187,000 of you have responded. I want to be, when we file at the UN and we do our moves, I want your help. Here's how you could do it. You go to ACLJ.org right now and you sign this petition. If you haven't signed it yet, if there was ever a time, it's right now. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. I want you to sign on to that petition right now. Now, share this information, like it on Facebook, and get it out to your friends. Very, very important. We're going to talk about Pastor Saeed in a little bit. He's got a situation, too, with ISIS in his prison. Speak out for these people, folks. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Remember, we're in a matching challenge campaign. You can donate in any amount you give. We get a matching gift for it. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with your calls in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered by radical Muslims, a deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians.
Call now, 1-877-989-2255, or please add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I'm going to go to Al, who's calling from Maryland on line one. Hi, Al. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, what I was saying earlier, what America should have done was keep some troops there when they did the formal pullout.
Yeah, it's called a status of force agreement, and that would have made I don't think this would have happened if we had a status of force agreement, but go ahead, Al, with the rest of your comment.
Yeah, I think America should have kept some troops there, like how they have some troops in Japan and how they have some troops in South Korea, just to keep the check and balance. And now that those Islamic found out, America pulled out, now that it's their chance to move in.
Well, let's talk about the status of force agreement, because I think, Skip, when you look at this, and I'll get David's comments on it too, but let me start with Skip. I mean, that was a fundamental mistake here. No troops on the ground. If we had 40,000 troops with our military, we already had Navy in the region. The George H.W. Bush was there. So this really was, I think, in a very real way, Skip, a fundamental flaw and a mistake that was made.
Right. This administration really fumbled the ball on that, because every nation in which we have forces, we have the status of forces agreement. That allows our forces to be there. That tells them what they may do and may not do, their status under the local law and everything else. And it's not that hard to get. We have it with every other nation. The administration just did not push hard enough, because even the people on the ground there said, we don't want you to leave. We don't want you to leave. Because they didn't want us to leave, it should not have been that hard to get us.
Of course, President Obama's blaming President Bush for this, but the facts just don't show that. The president did not push hard to get what was necessary.
There's a tremendous analysis of what happened in 2011 that was in the New Yorker by a liberal writer, Dexter Filkins, and he interviewed all the key players, and every single coalition partner in Iraq, every single major political party in Iraq, was asking us to stay. Every single one. Even Maliki, who was a terrible leader, was willing to waive Iraqi law to allow Americans to stay and to have immunity from any sort of local Iraqi prosecutions, which had been a sticking point. But the Obama administration, for months, would not even tell them the number of troops that they might be willing to keep there, and then at the very last minute just pulled the rug out completely and said, we're gone.
And meanwhile, folks, we've got a genocide taking place there in just huge proportion. We need your help on this. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I'm urging you to sign on to that petition. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We're going to get do we have the sound yet from Tulsi? We do. I want to play this. A Democrat, Tulsi Gabbard, a member of the military, a Democratic member of Congress. Listen to this.
Adam and I both enlisted, joined the military after 9/11 because we heard our nation's leaders say after that attack that we would go and take out these Islamic extremists wherever they are, that we would fight against those who are waging war against the United States. That stated mission after 9/11 has been lost.
This is coming from Democrats. That the stated, and now we've got an operational genocide taking place in the region in proportions we cannot even remember. I mean, this is what's happening. 1,000 people beheaded this weekend or killed in other ways. Women put into slavery, kids sold into slavery. Convert or die. That's the mantra of this group. That's their reason for existence. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. James is calling from Maine on line 5. James, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Shalom. Thank you for all your hard work.
Sure.
And just calling in regards to what you're asking about America and the UN. And I feel that our brothers and sisters in America, we really need to wake up. And I feel really remorseful that, the USA has come to stand under Satan's authority. And
well, I don't think we're under Satan's authority, but I'll tell you what we are. Lackluster in our response. When I'm having to quote the Prime Minister of Great Britain, David Cameron, rather than the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, that's problematic. But David has brought up a point, and I want people to hear this, because, and this is going to be real direct here, but you need, folks, you need to hear this. Go ahead.
You know, when we talk about what's happening here, you said the words convert or die. Hundreds, thousands of Christians are choosing death over forsaking their faith. I mean, think about that. That's courage in standing up and for your faith that we can't even begin to comprehend in this country. And they're facing death rather than forsaking Christ.
Folks, you understand what David said is absolutely correct. I mean, these people are being told convert or die. If you convert, you don't die. And they're choosing death rather than forsaking their faith. We can come in and help them. You can help them. Go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition now, or you call us at 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. Remember this, we're here for another half hour. We'll be taking more of your calls. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Skip. We were working on this a month ago in at the University of Oxford at Exeter College, and we were working on this whole ISIS issue. And it is now in the last, since we've been back, which has only been a couple of weeks, it has spiraled in a way, I don't even know if we knew it was going to be dangerous. I mean, the experts we were dealing with and working with said you got to crush them, but I don't think any of us realized it was going to move this quickly and this dangerously.
I think you're exactly right. We noticed, as we were studying over there, that it had come virtually out of nothing. And as it began to draw, but then it's gained a momentum, it's gained a speed that no one has anticipated. And the Iraqi army, for instance, those initial units just abandoning their weapons in the face of this group. This is a fanatical group that has now captured sophisticated weapons. It is expanding. It is capturing the imagination of young Islamist jihadists around the Arab world. They are flocking to its colors, and that's what makes this especially dangerous. That and the fact that it is well-funded and well-equipped, and the fanatical ideology it has means that they're coming after anyone who stands in their way, Muslims and non-Muslims alike.
You know, what's also damaging here, it's interesting that the Israel-Hamas engagement, David, in a sense, for about 2 weeks in the news, took the focus off of ISIS. Right. And then as soon as it calmed down in that region of the Middle East, then the focus went back to ISIS, and you realize the brutality and lethality of what you can't even compare it. I mean, they're not even comparable.
Well, there is a very important point for people to realize. Why did it calm down with Hamas and Israel? Because Israel absolutely defeated Hamas in their ground war, in the air war. Hamas was suing for peace at that point, or for at least a truce. There was no one to stop ISIS. So that flared, and it's going to continue to flare until someone stops it. It's amazing to me, though, with that reality, that contrast. Israel protects the Jewish people so they live in safety and prosperity in Israel. No one was protecting the Christians in Iraq, so they face genocide. People need to wake up and understand that the difference in those two situations is one was able to use force to protect itself, the other were not.
I'm going to tell you right now, and I mean this sincerely, folks. We're going to a break. You stay on the line there. We're going to get to your calls. Everyone that's listening to me, go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. There's Christian genocide taking place in Iraq and Syria. It's going to go to Jordan. Then it's going to affect Israel. If we don't do something right now and get world condemnation at a fevered pitch, we're going to have a problem that we can't even really understand. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Everyone that's listening to me can speak out. ACLJ.org. Or 877-989-2255. Don't forget our matching challenge. You can do that at ACLJ.org. You all are responding great so far. Please keep that up. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online aclj.org.
everybody. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We are taking your calls, and we are fighting back. And part of that is we've got to have you understand exactly what we're dealing with. We're talking about this group, ISIS. They are engaged in a genocide in a way I don't think we have seen in our lifetime. Let me play for you again. This is another one. A Democratic congresswoman served in Iraq, Tulsi Gabbard. Listen to this, number 32.
As we heard from White House officials last week, they said, and I quote, "These airstrikes are not an authorization of a broad-based counterterrorism campaign against ISIS," end of quote. So if our mission is not to take out the Islamic extremists who continue to threaten and wage war against us, then I think we've got a real problem here. If we focus on that mission, which I think we should, then we can look at what are the tactics that we need to take them out.
You know, this is a Democratic member of the United States Congress. She also served in the military. So this isn't a Republican-Democrat thing. This is a threat in a way we have not seen. The military engagement issues are ongoing. But the problem right now, and I think this is the depth of it, is this is a group that makes al-Qaeda look like the single-A baseball team, except the much more lethality. And it's not a great analogy, but it kind of shows you the minor players as compared with ISIS, who are controlling territory, billions, let me say that again, billions of dollars, territory, and weaponry. And that combination, David, is so deadly, it is mass genocide.
Right. And let's think about what ISIS had to do to get the territory that it got. First, it had to go out and defeat large sections of the Syrian army. The Syrian army equipped with modern tanks, jets, helicopters. ISIS defeated them, carved out a huge chunk of territory in northern Syria, then gathered fighters, went into Iraq, and absolutely routed two entire Iraqi army divisions that were stocked with American weapons. The troops just fled their post, and now they have those weapons. So even our best allies, our bravest allies, are now outgunned by a terrorist gang, if you can imagine that.
Yeah, so, Than's up on Capitol Hill working on this right now. Skip, Abu Bakr, the head, the caliph now. Let's get some of his background out, of who he is and what he's trying to do.
Okay, this is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is his nom de guerre, his war name. He was born in Iraq. He came from a religious family. He became got a PhD in religion and became an imam. He was a religious leader when the United States attacked Iraq, and he was captured. He was fighting against the U.S. forces, was captured, put into prison by the U.S. He was ultimately released. He went and joined al-Qaeda in Iraq, which became the Islamic State in Iraq, which he then headed. And he's the one that made it into ISIS, the Islamic State in Iraq and Greater Syria, often referred to as Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant. That's why it's ISIL, also called ISIL. And he's the one now who has declared himself to be the caliph and who has now established the Islamic State, which has territory from both Iraq and Syria. So this is a growth, and this new caliph is actually, he's really capturing the imagination of a lot of these Islamic jihadists, these young guys who believe that the only way to restore Islam is to put down everyone else. And that's what's leading to what's going on right now.
All right, folks, we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to go ahead and sign on to that petition. Many of you are. Also, let me encourage you, we're in a matching challenge here. The last less than 2 weeks left. We're off to a great start, though. We can get there with your help. Just go to ACLJ.org. Your online gift is doubled. So if you donate $20, we get $40. If you want to talk to us on air, we encourage you to do it. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. But let's get this 187,000 up to 200,000 in the next day or so here. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to go ahead and sign on to this petition to stop the genocide of Iraqi Christians. Back with your calls in just a moment.
It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered,
by radical Muslims, a deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking your calls. Gloria's calling on line four. Hi, Gloria. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. I've never called.
Welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks. If you could help me through some of these. First of all, what's noticed is that when he came into office, he gave Hamas money because he said we owed it to him.
When the Palestinian Unity Government was formed, with Hamas as a partner, I'm stopping you right there, Gloria. I'm going to go back to you in a second. But, Skip, when that was formed, we still gave them aid because we said it was a technocratic government.
Right. Our government went through this fiction saying that we have a law that says you cannot give U.S. funds to a terrorist organization, and we declare Hamas to be a terrorist organization.
As does the rest of the world, by the way. The rest of the world does as well, but...
Right. So when they entered the government with Fatah and said it was just technocrats, those technically were not members of Hamas, so we're continuing to give money. So money is actually going to Hamas causes. That's a travesty.
So this is a fiction, but it's a fiction that's reality. Okay, go ahead, Gloria.
Okay. And then he said he was going to do it again.
Correct.
He never got a chance to do it.
Well, no, there is money still going to that government. As we speak right now, David, that money is still going, even after this conflict, it is still going. Now, there may have been, there were talks of putting holds on it, but as far as I know, that money is still flowing to the unity government, which includes Hamas. Now, there is an internal struggle right now between Hamas and Fatah, a big struggle. And Fatah is basically taking the part, saying, we don't want Hamas part of this. And I think the people in Gaza are turning on Hamas, too.
Right. And during all of that, what does the Obama administration do? He pledges, Secretary of State Kerry pledges $47 million in aid to Gaza. I mean, let's back up for a minute. Why are we again and again doubling down on the wrong side? Why is that happening? I mean, Fatah, who is extremist itself, not as extreme as Hamas, was saying, don't fire rockets into Israel. Why are you doing this? And what does Secretary of State Kerry do? Sends $47 million in aid, some of it directly going to agencies that were caught red-handed helping Hamas in their terrorist attacks.
You know, I want to follow up on that, David, because, I mean, you know, you've got this combination. I talked about this on the air last week. You've got this unique moment, I think, in Middle East history. Maybe not so unique, but at least unique in our lifetime, where you have this concentrated effort by one terrorist group, Hamas, to kill Jews. But the Jews, fortunately, have a military called the Israeli Defense Force and a nation state to protect them. You've got, at the same time, a lethality which we've never seen before, a terrorist group that used to be called ISIS, the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq, now ICE, because it is not governed by borders. Understand the significance between ISIS and IS. It's a big difference. It's just Islamic State. And their job is to kill Muslim minorities that they disagree with, but focus also their efforts on killing Christians. So you've got one group trying to kill Jews in the same region of the world, while another group is trying to kill Christians. We've been through this before, but never with this lethality.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Jews have been safe, although there have been still too many casualties because of the IDF, whereas the Christians have been chased out of their homes, have been killed in mass numbers. Why? Because they used to have protection, and now that protection is gone. We pulled that protection from these communities. We did it. We pulled it, and then we refused to adequately arm the people who are offering to protect them.
All right. In our book that we're putting together right now, folks, it's going to be an e-book through Simon Schuster. It's called Massacre, at least that's the working title, ISIS, Hamas, and Genocide in the Middle East. We have a heading that reads ISIS, the world's most powerful jihadist army. Skip, this is what's different between ISIS and, say, Al-Qaeda, and that is what they're controlling territorially, dollars that they have at their disposal, weaponry, and landmass.
Absolutely. They have over $2 billion that they have gotten from banks and from selling oil that they've gotten from the Syrians. They have modern equipment, the best equipment that the United States has, because they captured from the Iraqis.
Yep.
They have this philosophy, this ideology that is motivating them. And so they have this constellation of values and constellation of material that has come together at this time that makes them absolutely the most dangerous terrorist organization that has ever existed. They even have radiological material for dirty bombs. Mm. And if they continue to expand and progress, it's just a matter of time before somebody is going to offer them probably a full-fledged nuclear weapon. And that's when the whole equation in the world is going to change. It's on the way to changing now because they're so powerful. But it's just another couple of steps before they become absolutely uncontrollable in the world.
All right, folks, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. This is a tutorial in what's going on in the Middle East, but you need to understand it. William's calling from Georgia. He's on line 3. Hi, William. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to pick up and let you have your question.
Hey, William, we're having a lot of trouble hearing you. Try it one more time. Go ahead with your question.
Can you hear me?
Barely. Go ahead, quickly.
Okay. I don't know what the president's views are, but it sure is not American, especially when he downplays Hamas' attack.
Well, I mean, I think what happens is I think the president's plan did not work. I mean, if you look at what he tried to do in the Middle East, it just has fallen flat and has created havoc in its wake. And I think at the end of the day, that's what the problem is. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me go to Catherine, who's calling in Jersey City, New Jersey, on line 2. And by the way, if you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. Catherine, go ahead.
Yeah, Jay, is there any way of bringing war crimes against the United Nations?
Interesting argument, Catherine, and a great question because, and Skip, we're looking at this right now. We know that the UN relief efforts, there were in those UN schools and so-called the UN hospitals and schools, there were actually rocket launchers and missiles, rockets. Those rockets were found by the UN authorities and, Skip, given to Hamas, given back to Hamas, a terror organization. That in and of itself should be a war crime.
Absolutely. We're looking into that right now.
It's a great question, Catherine.
It wouldn't be the UN per se, but it would be people working for the UN
Right. Potentially
could have violated UN Security Council resolutions as well as various portions of the law of armed conflict by returning unlawful weapons to unlawful combatants and under the auspices of the protection provided by the United Nations symbol. That could very well be a war crime. We're looking into it right now, but that's a wonderful question.
It is a great question. And Skip, the reality here is that while this situation is brewing with ISIS and developing troubling scenarios every day, the tentative truce in Israel and Hamas is just that, very tentative.
Yeah, because here's the reality. Hamas believes in an eternal jihad against Israel until Israel is defeated. That means it utterly rejects the concept of a peace, and instead it says it will sometimes pursue a truce. And the only reason it will do a truce is to rearm until it's ready to resume war again. So right now, a truce with Hamas is always fragile, because whenever Hamas believes it's strong again, it will attack again.
Yeah, because this is, it basically gives them a chance to rearm now. What's happening right now, though, is, and this is a positive sign, Egypt has completely cut off Hamas. Interesting also, believe it or not, and this is the weird dynamics of the Middle East, David, Iran not comfortable with Hamas either because of their backing, guess who, ISIS in Syria. Syria, Iranian ally. Under Bashar Assad. So you've got that whole situation where Hamas is basically being cut off by Egypt, certainly significantly cut off by Iran, and even though they're still lobbing missiles, they're running out of ammunition.
Right.
And
right.
We thought it was going to be Turkey that was going to, remember, Turkey said, we're going to go bring a blockade, we're going to run the blockade, the naval blockade, and we're going to have Turkish military ships there. That never happened.
That never happened because I think Turkey wisely decided not to start a shooting war in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, which was all you need in the middle of all of this going on. All right, folks, we come back from the break. We're going to take your calls. Our lines are jammed. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. We're going to get through to your calls just momentarily. 1-800-684-3110. But let me encourage you to do this. If you haven't signed the petition yet supporting these Christians that are being slaughtered, literally slaughtered in Iraq. And we've got to get UN action. We've got to get world military action here to end this. ISIS is very simple. ISIS has to go. Simple to say, not so simple to execute. It's going to take a concerted, full military, diplomatic, world opinion. And we can help shape that at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. You can sign that petition on either ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let me urge you to do that today. If you haven't already signed it, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Also, folks, you all are responding great. I have to say this. We've got a couple weeks left, a little less than 2 weeks left in our matching challenge campaign. Help us make and exceed our goal. You can do that by your donations at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls literally in just a moment. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
It's an atrocity that's unfolding half a world away. Thousands of Christians being murdered, slaughtered by radical Muslims, a deliberate and calculated attempt to wipe out the Christian minority in Iraq. The terrorists targeting Christians are known as the Al-Qaeda of Iraq, and their brutal tactics are designed to accomplish one goal: remove Christians from Iraq. Christians there face a very disturbing ultimatum: convert to Islam, pay an exorbitant fine, or die. Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255
or please add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let me play our friend Franklin Graham, who's on the same program I was on Friday night with Greta Van Susteren, and I was on with Nagme. Later in the week, we'll play that for you. But we're also looking at doing a rally in Washington, D.C. on behalf of Syed Abedin in late September with Franklin. So he's a good friend. Here's what he had to say about it. He's got people in the region as well, number 14.
We're seeing now across Syria, and I'll get reports out of Syria, where Christians, and also in Iraq, where Christians have been crucified, they've been beheaded. I've heard incidences where entire families have been buried alive because they refuse to convert to Islam. These people are dying for their faith. They believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, who died for our sins, who was buried for our sins, who God raised to life. And they are being persecuted, and they're being killed for their faith.
You know, this was exactly what Dave and I were talking about in the last segment of the broadcast. I mean, we cannot in the West understand this. Or we can understand it, but we can't really get the full reality of what we're talking about. But this is what these people are facing right now. So what we can do is speak out on their behalf. And you could do that at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I encourage you to sign that petition again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We've got a lot of people that have been on hold here. We're going to go really quickly here. Lillian is calling from California on line 6. Hi, Lillian.
Hi. My question to you is, what does our government or president holding him back not to think that they can very easily come over to our country and do the same?
Wishful thinking? That's what it is? If we don't engage them with boots on the ground, they'll be okay with us, even though we are effectively, and by the way, our United States Air Force and United States Navy aircraft seem to be doing a pretty good job. But the fact is, ISIS is just, as David said, it's like they're like running water. They go to the place of least resistance. But with the president, it's just not working, David.
No, absolutely. And it hasn't been working for months.
The Middle East policy I'm talking about. I never want to say anything, by the way. I want to be clear here. We've got troops in harm's way right now. That, you know, people could be firing on our men and women flying those aircraft. So we're backing our troops. So when we say we think we should do more, there should be something else, or the president policy didn't work, that doesn't mean we're not respecting the president as commander-in-chief, and we're not, certainly, we are holding in high esteem our men and women that are serving right now. David's one of those.
Well, absolutely. What we want our men and women in uniform to have is more freedom to take on ISIS, to have more a real strategy to pursue as they're taking on ISIS. We have troops on the ground, not American troops, but Iraqi troops, Kurds, who are willing to fight, that we've been withholding arms from. They're willing to take on ISIS, but they need American airstrikes to level the playing field, to tip the balance of power in their favor. What we've been very clear on and calling on the president to arm our allies, the faithful allies that will stand and fight, we know who they are, and give them the air support that they need to get the job done.
Hey, Skip, you feel the same way?
I do. I'm concerned when the president says all we're supposed to do is keep the lid on something. That doesn't solve anything. If our mission is to stop them, then we have to have the appropriate means to do so. And our president is not marrying up the proper means with the mission.
All right, let's take some more calls at 1-800-684-3110. Jacob on line 5 from San Jose, California. You're on the air.
Yes, it seems that the half-hearted response of the United States and its NATO allies to this carnage in the Middle East, I think basically it's all according to plan. I think the American people are going to be kept in the dark because there is a secret strategy, and the half-hearted response is because these heart eaters, they were cannibalizing people, not just beheading people in Syria. So, you know, they're kind of tactics, our terrorist tactics, but it's achieving an ultimate goal. What is that ultimate goal that the United States and NATO want for the Middle East? What is it? I can't figure
well,
it out.
Well, that's, I think, you no, Jacob, I think you're absolutely right. I'm asking for, and if we found any serious will UN response on this other than the general, oh, this is terrible, it shouldn't be happening, has there been anything in particular, you know, we should put more sanctions? First of all, do we think sanctions who? Sanctioning the Islamic State? What are we going to do? Say we're going to put you on the do not fly list? I mean, what are we even talking about? You know, you got to wipe these people out. This sounds really harsh, but this was the words from a Middle East expert at the University of Oxford. This is what he said. Crush them. And he said that to me and you, Skip. crush them were the words he used.
Absolutely. You know, you either get the cancer or the cancer gets you. You cannot be neutral with cancer, and this is a cancer that's taking over the Middle East. We have to go, and we have to root it out and destroy it, or it's going to destroy us.
Folks, I'm looking at the draft of the book, Massacre, ISIS, Hamas, and Genocide in the Middle East. I wish it was out tonight. I mean, it's really a dynamic book. We're going to have a lot of material going with it. We're getting it out, and the beauty of it is it's going to be an e-book, so we can even update it as things develop. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. I'm going to try to do this rapid fire here. Charles in Washington State, quickly, please. Or Washington, D.C. Charles, go ahead.
I would just conclude by Obama's actions that since he's aligned himself with the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, they're all the same thing. It's just different extremes. But I think he's with them. I think the only reason why he's doing any airstrikes is because it's close to an election, and he knows it would go wrong for him.
I don't think he's with them. I think he's David's saying this, appeasing them. And I said this the other day. This, you can't appease it as if it's going to go away. So I'm not saying he's with them, but I'm saying his policy does not directly confront them the way it should.
Well, Skip said it earlier. I mean, the president has said many times he wants to, quote, keep a lid on things. I don't even really know what that means.
I'm going to find that bite for tomorrow if we can find it.
I think the strategy here is to just give a few pinpricks to keep the worst of the worst from happening and then go right back to his appeasement, the appeasement that he's been doing ever since his Cairo speech in 2009.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well for Neville Chamberlain, and I don't think it's working out for the United States or President Obama. Timothy's calling from Jacksonville, Florida. Timothy, you're on the air.
Yes, hey, how you doing, Jay Sekulow?
Good.
Nice. I'm glad you taking my call.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say is you had a caller that called in earlier, and he said that, you know, basically that he doesn't think the president's actions are American. And I kind of called because, I kind of agree with that, because for this simple fact that, you know, as the Bible states, that to whom much is given, much is required.
Yep.
And because we've been given so much, we've been blessed so much, we've been the most powerful nation ever in history.
Yep.
And we cannot take this stance. And for our president to take this stance is not, you know, owning up and living up to the adage that the Word of God says.
I understand, Timothy. I understand what you're saying. I think this is, you're right in many respects, and the policies of the president are bearing horrible fruit. Sherry's calling from Chicago, Illinois. Really quickly, Sherry, we're running out of time here.
Hi. Just quickly, I think the thing that frustrates me so badly is I listen to the talk shows, I listen to Fox, and I hear everybody saying the same thing. This is ridiculous. Nothing is being done. This is happening. No one's doing anything about it. And, I mean, this administration has clearly let everybody know that they're going to do nothing, and he keeps getting away with it.
Well, let me tell you this, though. 187,741 people that are listening to this broadcast are doing something about it, because as we go and deal with this, whether it's at the UN or in the halls of Congress, on the courts of public opinion, or in the media, we've got 187,000, almost, with phone calls, I'm sure over 190,000 people have called us. We'll get it to 200,000. Take action, folks. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign, a little less than 2 weeks ago, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Also, share this information on Facebook. Get it out in your social media. Get your friends to engage. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Talk to you tomorrow.
Those who do not comply, according to the terrorist group, will, quote, face death by the sword. This persecution of Christians must not be permitted to continue. Stand with the ACLJ and demand that the United States and other nations engage. It's imperative there must be a global outcry and global action to stop the slaughter of Iraqi Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or please add your name online, aclj.org.